I'm going to say it again. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
See, okay, you guys did better. Most of the time, they don't ask that follow-up question. It catches people a little off guard. So my name is Daniel Shanks. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm assuming the junior or the sophomore one, according to what Dan just said. Probably sophomore. I work with youth, and I get to preach sometimes. So I get to preach on Anxiety Sunday. Yay. This is a trick question, but what do you think my emotional state was when they said, Dan, you're preaching on anxiety? Yeah. I got a little anxious. We have a meeting where we gather and we plan worship, and that's exactly what happened. They're like, you're preaching this Sunday. I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, on anxiety. And I went, oh, are we really? Like, is there any other options? Our sermon series is Unafraid, and we're talking about how we live with courage and hope. And anxiety is one of those things that, friends, we really need some hope. How many of you would say you're anxious people? Good, it's a trick question. Everyone has hands. I have a meme that I want to show you. This illustrates my point perfectly. Human body is 80% water, so we are basically just cucumbers with anxiety. Every single one of us has experienced anxiety. Every single one of us. Now, there's a spectrum of anxiety, which is something that I've learned. I had a friend once tell me that he was anxious for his pizza to arrive. I was like, oh, I would have never attributed that emotional response to a pizza. Well, we also have friends in my life, family members, who have anxiety disorders, where they literally cannot shut off their brain. And so I'm going to read you the definition of anxiety so we kind of know what we're working with. And this is from the APA, the American Psychological Association. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes, like increased blood pressure. Emotions affect us physically. Anxiety is an emotion that affects us physically. I would say if we're defining anxiety, it is anticipated fear. How many of you guys have ever been afraid? It's another trick question. Okay, you guys got this. I won't ask any more questions. I'm sorry. I overdid it. We're all afraid. We've all been afraid. We all experience anxiety. It's one of those things that makes us human. It's part of who we are. Now, the problem is, how do we as Christians manage that? Because we do have an issue. I'm telling you right now, like, I have an issue. Every time, like, I get done with a sermon, someone inevitably compliments me on how cool and collected I am. And I'm really glad that I pulled that off. Because I will be honest, there is not a single sermon that I have ever given that I have not been anxious ahead of. In the first service, we actually walked down the center aisle. That is like the peak of anxiety for me. Because once I start that walk, I can't leave. I get to hear, and that's the line. Like, you can't run away at that point. You guys have heard of, like, the point of no return? That's it. I can't flee from here. So even right now, like, a person like me who does have some, like, moderate level of, like, communication anxiety, like, I do not like speaking in front of people. It's not my natural state of being. I can't run away right now because that would be even worse. I am in sometimes, like, feel like I'm trapped up here. I'm confessing this to you because I'm normal. I want you guys to understand that everyone experiences anxiety, even if they don't show it. Every single one of us. And it could be, I'm anxious for my pizza to arrive, or it could be, I literally can't turn off these thoughts, and it is ruining my day, my life. Anxiety is a real issue. The other thing that I found out when I was researching for this, there seem to be a lot of people who think that we are somehow more anxious than those who came before us. My grandparents were anxious people too. Their parents were anxious people too. We have this thing, like, it's a historical phenomenon. Like, everyone thinks that they, like, when they're alive, that they have it worst. You guys know this? I don't think that we are the first generation in all the generations before us who have ever felt anxiety. I don't think it's somehow worse now. I do think what we're anxious about has definitely changed. This is another thing that I've learned about anxiety. It's very contextual. I know this because when I was in Ghana, I realized that Ghanaians have very different anxieties than I do. I also realized that my anxieties changed when I was there. I would venture to say that your anxieties look very differently than mine. And the same thing is true for history, right? Those who have come before us, it's not that they were less anxious. We always look back and we're like, they were really tough, right? They were anxious too, they just didn't call it that. Anxiety has been a part of the human condition forever. And in some ways, it can even be helpful. You get that? My anxiety before preaching, I think, is actually a good thing because it drives me to actually do more research. It drives me to practice. Anxiety can encourage you to be better at different things. I want you to know these things because as we have this conversation, there's angles, there's perspectives on what is anxiety. And what we do know is there's definitely good anxiety and there's bad anxiety. And I learned that because when I started researching for this, this was the best thing ever. I Googled just anxiety in Scripture just to see what would come up. Every single thing that showed up on my newsfeed was how to cure anxiety. 5 Bible passages to cure anxiety. Feeling anxious? Read these 5 Bible verses. The problem is that we've had the Bible for a long time. We've had coping mechanisms for a long time, and yet we're still anxious. I don't know if there is a cure for anxiety, but Scripture does have something to say about it, and so we're going to read this. This is from the book of Matthew. When pastors talk about anxiety, this is normally the Scripture they go to. There are several ones, but this is like the big one. In fact, the Bible that I read at home actually says, like at the title, "The Cure for Anxiety." And I'm like, that's not helpful. That's just making it worse. This is Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. You've probably heard this before. "No one can serve 2 masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" That's a brutal question, by the way. "And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat and what will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." There's a lot going on in that little bit of Scripture. Don't worry. First and foremost, I want to say, like, Jesus is not anti-money. Jesus is not anti-clothes or food. I guarantee you, like, Jesus asked that question. But he was saying something about focus. You can't prioritize what the world prioritizes and prioritize what God wants us to prioritize. Does that make sense? I punished the first congregation with this. I'm going to do the same for you. There's a song that immediately came to my mind when I read this, and this is absolutely not what it is. How many of you have heard this song? "Don't worry. Be happy." That's all you get, because that's all I'm capable of. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying, like, "I got you, don't worry about it. Go be lazy, go to the beach." I know, right? We want the beach verse. Where's the beach verse? And Jesus definitely isn't saying, like, "Don't worry about food" or "Don't worry about clothes." Like, Jesus was pro-clothes. I've read Scripture. Jesus is clothed, like, 99% of the time. This is not forget about the things that you need to do. Like, Jesus is telling us, like, pay attention to what I think is important. Like, what we're doing is bigger than this. There's something happening here that is more important than all these other things. Jesus came to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, the way the world could and should be. And you'll hear me talk about this all the time. It's one of those things that's a theme in Scripture. Jesus spent his ministry telling people that there was something else, that there was something better. He came to proclaim hope. And friends, I'm telling you right now, hope is the only thing that I know of that actually drives out fear. I remember being a kid and being afraid, and I remember like being on the outside of a dark room and shouting into the room, "I'm not afraid!" Not because I believed it, but because I was trying to convince myself of it. The only thing that got me in there was the hope of a toy. And that's a really horrible example. But friends, hope is the only thing that actually gets us through fear. Hope is what inspires courage. And if we're having this sermon series on unafraid, you need to know that your anxiety is more often than not fear that is being anticipated. And the only way to really get past anxiety is to have hope. And you may ask yourself, what's there to hope for? Our hope is the kingdom of God. Our hope is prioritizing what God is doing. Because here's the thing, fear and anxiety are something that we do with ourselves. It's an inward focus. In a world where people are constantly looking down, like have you ever seen someone who is anxious? Have you ever watched their body language? Their shoulders kind of get down. They kind of shrink in on themselves. We do this when we get anxious. It's defensive, right? You're preparing for a fight. In a world where people are tense, in the world where people are looking down and saying, like, look at all the stuff that I have to deal with, my feet, you know, what's going on? Where am I going? Jesus is walking around and telling people, look up, look over there. He's literally going around and just picking people's chins up and pointing out and saying, look, where you're at is not great, but that's not where you're going to be. That's where we're going. That's where we can be. Let's go there. Friends, we are Christians. We believe in the hope of the resurrection. We believe that Jesus isn't done working. We believe that God is still at work in our lives. You've heard me say this. I feel like a broken record, but it's true. We are here today because we believe that something is happening, that it's not done yet. You're in a United Methodist Church. Our mission statement is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Not for fun. For the transformation of the world. You want to talk about hope? Imagine a hope of the resurrection. Imagine looking down and seeing all this anxiety and then realizing that there's something more important, that it's not, that's not your world, that the kingdom is where we're going. And not only that, that you have a part to play in that, that you're part of that kingdom work. I do not believe that reading scripture cures anxiety. I do not believe that following Jesus suddenly makes things better. If you read scriptures, Jesus cried and wept in a garden before he was crucified. Jesus has anxiety in scripture. But he has anxiety about things that are valid, about things that are important, about things that change worlds. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're broken if you have anxiety. Okay, we're broken for many different reasons. Having anxiety is a part of the human condition. I'm not telling you to do away with it. I'm telling you to pay attention to it and point it in the right direction. I'm telling you to take your anxiety and use it in the ways where Jesus is going. Point it towards the kingdom. Because here's the thing, and I'm testifying to you this today. I am an anxious person. I come off as cool and collected, but I have moments of extreme anxiety. Friends, when you follow Jesus, when you actually live into the hope of the resurrection, when you look and you see this is the way it could be, and you actually start acting that way, when you start trying to better yourself and the people around you and the world as a whole, do you know what happens? You start to look outside yourself. You stop seeing what is immediately around you, and you focus on the hope of the resurrection. You focus on the good work, the love of Christ that is at work in all of us and in the world, and you find yourselves in the midst of a beautiful journey. And anxiety will not ever go away completely, but there are moments of profound peace. There are moments of clarity. When you find yourself focused on what God would have you focused on, you will find peace. And you can always return to that peace. Because the work is not finished, friends. Our anxieties help shape us. Our anxieties inform how we interact with each other, how we operate as Christians. But as Christians, we are called to focus on Jesus Christ. We are called to focus on the hope of the resurrection. I'm going to give you another terrible example. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant whose menu is just way too big? Nothing induces anxiety more in people than having to choose from a large menu. To tell that, to look that waiter in the eyes or waitress in the eyes and say, just another couple minutes, please. Are there more important things in our lives than what we're eating for lunch? Are there more important things than what you choose? Would it be that bad if you just got the chicken salad? I'm not telling you this to make your decisions easier. I'm telling you, why do we spend so much energy on things that are non-essential? Why do we do that? I'm still trying to figure it out, truthfully. We worry about things. We worry, like the first part of this passage, it says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. Friends, is it possible to be a Christian, a good Christian, and not have Jesus be your primary focus? That's a hard question. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. And you may be saying to yourself, Dan, I want that peace. I want to focus my anxieties. I want to focus my energies. How do we do that? And this is the not fun answer, because the church has been doing this forever and no one likes it. Have you guys ever heard of spiritual disciplines? I say that and like three people just fell asleep. Spiritual disciplines, prayer, study, fasting, engaging in community, engaging in worship. These are things that the church practices, not because we just think they're really fun. We do these things because when you are anxious, when you have those moments and your priorities are out of line, when you fast, when you pray, when you practice those disciplines, it makes you focus on God. I assure you, God does not need our prayers. God is not up there like, I wish someone would pray to me. We pray because it changes us. It changes how we view the world. It changes what we're focusing on. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone and not look at them? You can't pray and not think about God. Same thing with fasting. People, every time I mention spiritual discipline, someone's like, I'm not fasting. Don't ask me to fast. I don't want to do that. Here's the thing. God does not care about you fasting. Like, God is not up there like, I love it when they don't eat. Oh, look at Steve. He hasn't eaten in 4 days. I bless him. Fasting is for our benefit, not for God's. When you go without food for a little bit, you understand Matthew 4:4 a little better. You hear that Jesus saying, you know, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You realize for a brief moment that your life isn't solely based on food, that you're more than just someone who eats. You're a spiritual being. When you pray, you realize you're not alone, that you're in the midst of other hurting people. When we worship together, do you know what the primary thing about worship is? Is we're together. We don't even need this building. In Ghana, people worshiped under trees. It was awesome. We gather together because it's a spiritual discipline and it allows us to share with one another. Someone in here may have anxiety today. Someone in here today may be really focused on the hope of the resurrection. When we gather together, we share our experiences with one another. How do we get better with anxiety? We live together. We share community together. You as an individual can practice spiritual disciplines. What do we as Living Word need to do? How does Living Word help people with anxiety? Hey, we got to first have the question. We have to talk about it. We have to have these types of awkward moments. As they said, I'm the junior pastor, which means I'm the younger pastor. You know what my young friends always tell me, the ones who don't go to church? We don't have relevant conversations at church. We don't talk about things that are important. Friends, we got to start having conversations that are rough. We have to open our church. We have to be aware that we are going to be uncomfortable when we have these conversations, and this is the place where it should be happening. The church needs to be a safe place. It needs to be a place where those with anxiety can tell their friends, hey, you know what? I struggle with anxiety, and have that be okay. I guarantee you, I've heard so many people, Dan, I struggle with anxiety. but I can't tell anyone, even in a church. We have these conversations. We educate. But friends, we also, the primary goal of the church is pointing at that hope of the resurrection. If Jesus' ministry was spent pointing towards the kingdom of God, guess what the church is that fulfills that mission? We point towards the resurrection. We testify to those moments in our lives that changed us. We, every single Sunday, should be in here talking about what hope looks like, even in moments where hope seems non-existent. Our primary goal is to point at the cross, to point at Scripture, to point at other people who have survived moments, and we need to share that with one another. Because if we do not continually focus on that hope, the church has lost its aim. Reverend Billy Graham named it perfectly. He said, "Anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered on anything short of God and His will for us." Anxiety comes about when our priorities are out of line, when we focus on Jesus, when we focus on the hope of the resurrection. Our anxieties aren't going to vanish magically, but we will find moments of peace. You will find new meaning, new purpose. The third thing that the church does, and we're about to do it, we celebrate communion. We believe that when we celebrate communion, that Jesus meets us. Guess who's going to be invited to this table? Everyone. Because we're going to go to Christ's table. And Christ came to save anxious people, non-anxious people, people who are afraid, people who are unafraid, weak people, strong people, every single person, all of creation. When we go to this table, that's the church reminding us that there's something more, that there's something we don't understand, but there's something we're a part of. If you have anxiety today, you are in good company. You are not broken any more or less than anyone else. You are welcome here. Jesus loves you. And even more importantly, we're not staying here. We are moving on towards something else, towards something greater, to the redemption of all of creation. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this place where we can gather. We thank you for your hope, which we oftentimes lose sight of, but that we are continuously reminded of. We pray that you would bless us as we share a meal, as we learn to love one another, as we move through our anxieties and with them. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.